Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
May I have one moment, Sean?
Sure.
Mr. Whiffen, moving on from that for a moment. May I approach the witness, Sean?
Yes.
Thank you.
That document I've just handed you, Mr. Whip, you recognize that?
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that?
It's a document that highlights both the search terms that were found in Mobile Safari.plist and the method of searching.
Yes.
I'm off the seat to introduce you. No objection.
Okay. Thank you.
May I return for the witness? Yes. Of course, Mr. May we publish it for the jury.
Okay.
Ms. Whiffen, do you recognize what's up on the screen as the next exhibit?
I do, yes.
You did use a term in there, I believe, called the P-list, is that correct?
Correct.
Can you explain to the jury what you want in that term being and how it relates to what you're about to talk about up on the screen?
So a P-list or a property list is a Apple's way of storing serialized data. That essentially means a list of data with names and values.
And, sir, if you could, again, using that way to point and direct the jury's attention to explain sort of what we're looking at and what I'm going to do with slider.
Yeah, so again, this is a table I created from the data within the Mobile Safari.plist. The term shown down the left is what the user would have typed into the search bar. I keep blinding somebody. The search bar in the bottom of the Safari browser window. The UTC time is the time which is actually recorded within the plist. It's recorded as a string, so just text as it's presented on the screen there. And then I converted that and subtracted 5 hours to bring it into local time around Canton.
Now, aside from this, just for a moment, with regard to, you're familiar with what's termed as a private browsing mode?
Yes.
Can you explain to the jury what that is and how it relates to this?
Yeah, so private browsing mode is a setting that you can set on iOS devices, or primarily most devices, that prevents any of your browsing activity being recorded. So it won't save the searches, it won't save the navigations, it protects everything so that it can't be found later on.
And what, if any, relation did that have to what you your analysis of the extraction?
If these searches had been conducted while in private browsing mode, these searches would not exist within this file.
So is it your opinion that they were not conducted in any kind of private browsing mode?
Correct.
Now, you're also familiar with the term as far as failure to load?
Yes.
Can you explain that to me and how that applies to this?
Yes, so obviously whenever you try to visit a web page, there's a stream of information coming from the web to the device, which then renders onto the screen. At the completion of the load event, there's a function effectively which runs, and that records the visit to the history database. If for some reason the page doesn't load and it shows up with an unable to load message, so for example you don't have an internet connection at all, that unable to load will be recorded. If however the device stalls and it just sits kind of waiting to load, nothing gets written to the history database. And if you were to close the browsing window prior to the page completing its load event, nothing will be written to history.
Would that be written to somewhere else within the phone as far as any other storage area?
Technically, the only place I found would be the browser state.
Now, with regard to the plist files, does the plist file save all sort of history items or not?
Primarily, it's used to save preferences. So you'd have a lot of information in there if it's using light mode or dark mode, or when you want tabs to auto-clear, that kind of information. But it also records several days' history of searches. The actual number of days' searches, I actually don't know.
And what, if any, relationship does that have with regard to search bar that's located on the bottom of this table?
In order for the search item to be saved to the Mobile Safari plist, you need to actually type into this particular search bar. If you were to just visit google.com and start typing into the Google search bar, it will not be recorded within the Mobile Safari.plist.
And so what, if anything, were you able to determine about those two searches with regard to what you observed?
So in these particular two searches were conducted at 6:23:51 and 6:24:18. Respectively. They were searched using the search bar that's built into Safari. The fact that they didn't exist within HistoryDB and that there were no deleted records from history.db leads me to believe that they never successfully loaded.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
That new document that I just handed you, do you recognize that?
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that?
This was the additional, the items from the history.db, I believe.
May I approach, John?
Yes.
I'm about to seek to deduce and admit as an exhibit.
Objection. Okay. Could
you bring it? You are unmuted.
May I return to the witness?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Whitman, if you could just repeat exactly what that is in the next exhibit.
Yeah, sorry, it's a comparison between the search terms found in the plist, so the Mobile Safari plist, and the search terms found within the history.db database.
So the items contained within this table are items that were contained within the extraction that you examined, correct?
Correct.
And Your Honor, court's permission, if I could display that for the jury.
Yes. Yes.
And Mr. Whitman, if you could, again, using the laser pointer, just to describe to the jury what we're looking at in this table and what, if anything, of significance between sort of the two sources of information.
Okay, so the first list, the plist term, shows the term within the Mobile Safari.plist, excluding the two that we've already mentioned, which are of note. And the first timestamp column shows the timestamp according to that plist. The history item shows the search term as recorded in the history database, and then we have the timestamp as per the history database. So the purpose of this document was to show that we have a search for reigning men and a history item related to the Google search for reigning men, and they show within a second of each other. Again, the next one down, Antoinette Ock and basketball, and the associated Google search, and again the timestamps are within a second. This list was non-exhaustive. There was hundreds of examples within the history.db, but limited examples within the Mobile Safari plist. And as I mentioned, the two searches of interest, the how long to die in the kickdee and how long to die in the cold, didn't exist within the history DB at all.
Ms. Gilman, you can take that. Now, sir, if I could ask you just a little bit now about the browser state DB. Again, can you explain to the jury sort of what that is and how it, if at all, it plays a role in your analysis?
Yep. So initially, pre and including iOS 14, the browser state database would show all tabs that you currently had opened. So as soon as I go into my browser and open a new tab, a record is created. It includes information such as the time that I opened the tab or the time I last viewed the tab, the current URL which is being displayed within that tab. It shows information whether it's in private browsing mode or not. So in that kind of case, in iOS 14 and below, we're able to see current private browsing records and subsequently recover deleted ones. But in iOS 15, things changed. The record was no longer written as soon as the tab was opened. It was only opened when the tab was closed. The record was only created when the tab was closed. That meant that our ability to recover that kind of history was significantly lower. It means that it no longer makes use of the private browsing field, because now private browsing records simply are never written to that database. So now we can only really see a list of all of the tabs that have been closed, not which are currently open.
Now, with regard to the browser state DB, is there something referred to as a last timestamp?
There is, yes. That's one of the fields within the database.
And can you explain specifically with relation to that field, sort of what kind of information is kept there and what it means?
Yeah, so from my research based on this, that timestamp relates to the time that the tab took focus. So that's either when the user creates the brand new tab, when they switch between tabs and bring a tab back into focus, when they close a tab, which automatically brings one of the background tabs into focus, or if Safari has been completely closed and reopened, that essentially acts like almost a new tab, and the timestamp gets updated at that point.
Now, can you explain how an earlier timestamp could be associated from, say, tab is open, something is done, tab is closed, tab is reopened, something else done, how that earlier timestamp could then be associated data-wise with the subsequent search?
I think I followed that. Okay, so if, for example, at 12 p.m., I create a new tab, I can do a search for whatever I want, and at that point, if I close the tab, then the record that gets created will show that I opened a tab at 12 p.m. and I did a search. Excuse me. However, if I open the same tab at 12 p.m., do a search, close it, like completely close down Safari and reopen Safari, that would also update the same timestamp to show that I'd opened it up again. What I meant to say at that point is that if I create a 12 o'clock tab, minimize Safari, I can leave it for several hours, for several days, for several weeks. The time difference is not really important. When I come back to it and open up Safari again from a background state, the timestamp is not updated. So it will still show 12 p.m. today, and it will show whatever my most recent navigational event is. So I can search for something in 3 weeks' time using the same tab I opened today, and the timestamp will show today's time.
I think this is a good place to take our break.
Yeah.
Just do it for one million. Of course, ask you to stay with us, okay? As there is file up, you can file up behind.
Okay. Thank you.
Board, all rise for the jury.
And could I see counsel regarding timing, please?
Yeah. So recess and one.
You are unmuted.
Court all rise. Court stands in recess. Lunch in recess. 1:40. Thank you. Maybe see the court back in session.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Mr. Lally.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
Sir, showing you another document. Do you
Thank you.
That?
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that?
This is the entire Google URL that was found on the browser state record. So broken down into each of its important sections.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm going to introduce the next exhibit.
Okay.
Same objection as before, Your Honor.
Okay, there are a couple of different objections. I need to sidebar. I don't know what you're talking about.
You are unmuted.
That will be the next exhibit.
Exhibit 618.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Whitman, what's up on the screen now? Is that what you have before you at 618?
It is, yes.
And if you could, again, using a laser pointer, direct the jury's attention to what are we looking at in exhibit 618?
Okay, so the left side of the table is the entire URL that was recovered from the browser state record. What I've done is broken it down into each of its individual components and explained what each of those components means. So the very first row is google.com/search. That just tells the browser that we're going to the Google website and that we want to run a search. The second part, the Q equals, is telling the browser what the query term is. So the query term here is host long to dying cold. The little plus symbols in between is in place of a space because spaces can't be part of a URL. Next, we have the input encoding and the output encoding just explains what kind of characters to use and what language to use when you're accepting the search query and giving it back to the user. And finally, the important part is the and client equals Safari. This is something that just tells Google that this query is being done using the Safari client. Again, if I was to use Safari and just visit the Google website, page and type that in, or type a search in, that part of the string wouldn't be there. That's only there because I used the Safari search bar as part of the Safari application to do that search.
Thanks, sir. Ms. Gilman, you can go. Now, sir, with reference to that, what, if any, relationship should that have to the information discussing TriAgility?
Again, that confirms that this search was conducted via the Safari search bar feature that's part of the Safari browser application, the same one that caused the records to be recorded in the plist.
Honor, may I approach this again?
Yes.
You another document. Do you recognize that, sir?
I do, yes.
And what do you recognize that?
This is the live records from the browserstate.db database.
May I approach on?
Yes.
I'm all to seek to do some business. There is no objection.
All right,
thank you. Now we're
turning
to the witness.
Thank you.
May be published after the jury call, Your Honor.
Yes.
And Mr. Whitman, do you recognize what's up on the screen now is what you have before you as Exhibit 619?
I do, yes.
Now, turning back to the browser DB database for this particular device, with regard to the timestamp and the last, what, if anything, do you observe in reference that depicted in this directory's attention?
Yes, so this timestamp is the last viewed time according to the database itself. It's already been offset so that it's in local time. This particular table, we can see there are records missing. Between records 4025 and 4031, we have, 4025 and 4031, we have 4026, 27, 28, 29, and 30 missing. And typically, the timestamps that we do have here, some of them are separated by as little as a second or two.
Now, with reference to the house long to die in cold, that was record 4028, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so, based on records missing from this portion of the phone as far as that database, what, if anything, did you endeavor to do with respect to ascertaining what?
So first of all, the task was to try to recover the deleted messages. History records from browser state. So first of all, was reading the deleted pages essentially to find the records that had been deleted from this current version of the page.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Sir, I'm sure we have the document. Ask you to do that.
Yes.
And do you recognize that document, sir?
I do, yes.
And what do you recognize that?
This is the same data source. So it's still browser state.
Last term that you use, what does that mean? I'm sorry.
So typically there can be lots of different versions of a page within a WAL file. So you may have several page ones, several page twos, and so on. What I looked at is doing is recovering the data where the records that I recover are different from each other. So if I recover the same record multiple times, I can ignore it. But if I recover the same record with a slight change, then I would show it in this view.
May I approach, Ron?
Yes.
I'll seek to introduce in a minute. No objection.
Okay.
Thank you.
With court's permission, may I publish that? Sure.
Yes.
And then, Mr. Whitman, if you could, with the ways of order, find it helpful, direct the jury's attention to what are we looking at here and what, if anything, to uncover during this portion of your analysis.
Yes. So, again, the very first column on the left is the unique identifying number. You'll notice that there are some numbers here which are repeated. This is, as I say, because the records are recovered from multiple versions of the same page. There was actually 16 versions of this record across 23 different versions of this particular page. These three had some difference. Primarily, it was the what's called the tab order field, but that's the only difference that showed up across these three host long to die in the cold records. All the rest show the same URL, the same ID number at the beginning, or tab ID number, and the same timestamp. Worth noting, there is no title shown in this particular record. Again, that speaks to the fact that this page didn't successfully complete loading. Otherwise, there would be a title of Google search, host long to die in the cold, as you saw on some of the other examples earlier.
Now, sir, with respect to the table up here, is there any indication in regard to private browsing that you talked about before?
No. In iOS 15, as I mentioned, if you are using private browsing mode, there is no records recorded in this database at all.
So the fact that that's not listed in this table, what, if anything, does that tell you?
Everything that was recorded in this database was conducted not in private browsing mode.
Now, with respect to your work within your field, do you familiar with a term called a session.
Yes.
And can you explain to the jury what you understand that term to mean and how it applies to this civic instance?
Essentially, the life of the particular tab. So when I start a tab and I start to use navigation, I go to different websites. All of my navigation events would be considered part of the same browsing session, essentially.
Now, sir, if I could turn your attention to the Knowledge C database. And again, if you could, maybe I'm repeating just as far as, can you explain to the jury what you understand that term to mean as far as what is the Knowledge C database in respect to the other databases?
Yeah, so far the bulk of what we've discussed, the history.db, the browser state DB, and mobile safari.plist are all particular to the Safari application on iOS. Knowledge C is much more global. It's much more ingrained within iOS. Everything is essentially recorded in there on iOS 15. So again, backlight activity, unlock activity, application state activity, and web usage activity is all recorded as part of Knowledge C.
Can I approach you on your
own? Yes.
Another document, you can just review that, look, I'll finish.
Yes.
And do you recognize that document, sir?
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that?
This is a document I created based on the Knowledge C web usage records.
May I approach on?
Yes.
I'm off the seat to introduce and admit that you exhibit.
No objection. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Your Honor, with the court's permission, may we publish that to the jury?
Yes.
Well, sir, again, what's up on the screen? Do you recognize that as what for you as the next exhibit?
I do, yes.
And if you could, again, Ms. Gilman, if I could ask you to scroll down the green tabs. Okay. Now, if you could, sir, again, using that laser point, if you could direct the jury's... Well, first, can I ask you, what is it that we're looking at in this?
Okay, this is a particular what's called a stream within Knowledge C. A stream is basically all like information being grouped together. So in this particular case, the stream is related to Safari, and it's telling us what web page was visible on screen, what time it started, and what time it finished.
Now, with respect to this particular tab, there are portions that are highlighted in green and portions that are highlighted in blue. Is that correct?
Correct.
Explain to the jury what the portions highlighted in green represent.
I highlighted the sections in green due to their timestamp. So typically, these items last between 2:27:37 a.m. and 2:27:53 a.m. So around the time of the Google search, if you were to believe the browser state.
And with respect to the items highlighted in blue, what are those?
The ones in blue are the actual Knowledge C records that show when the host long to die in the cold and the how long to die in the Kikti web pages were actually visible on screen.
And so from this, what if anything were you able to ascertain as the searches or the time associated with the searches from your analysis?
At 2:27:40, the only websites that were visible on screen were related to Ozone Basketball and Hockamock Sports, and that the How Long Tidai in the Kikdi first appeared on screen at 6:23:56, and Hoss Long Tidai in Cold first appeared on the screen at 10:33 a.m.
So those two searches from your review of this extraction in this device never appeared on the screen prior to 6:23 in the morning, correct?
Correct.
Now, from all this, sir, what, if anything, were you able to include with regard to these searches?
So essentially, ignoring the browser state timestamp is important because that is not a reliable timestamp to show when that URL was visited. We have mobile safari.plist record searches that show 6:23 and 6:24, and we show the same searches with very similar timestamps within half a second as showing up on screen in Knowledge C for the how long to die in the Kikdi, and the host long to die in the cold was actually several hours later, which took a little bit more explanation. Looking at Knowledge C and when the applications were opened up.
Now, with respect to your view of the extraction of the device around these times, were you able to ascertain as to what time this particular device connected to a Wi-Fi sometime after 2 a.m.?
I actually didn't look at any Wi-Fi connection information.
And with respect to 27 in the morning, 27 a.m., what were the websites that the device had visible and what were the websites the device was connected to with that?
So according to the Knowledge C records, which were mostly also reflected within the History DB as well, it was the Hockamock Sports, YouTube, Ozone Basketball, and that's it for the main domains.
Now, with regard to the Wi-Fi connection, is your memory exhausted as it pertains to that?
Yeah, I don't remember looking at Wi-Fi history.
May I approach?
Yes.
Sure. showing you a copy of your report.
Thank you.
You got to look up when you
okay.
And sir, I'm sorry. In the interest of time, if I could ask you just to look at the next page as well,
yes.
Just briefly.
Okay.
Do you remember refresh, sir?
I do, yes.
May I approach to retrieve?
Yes.
You? So, Mr. Whiffen, from your review of the extraction report in regard to the device of McCabe's, about what time was the connected to a Wi-Fi network called McCabe's?
I believe it was 0207. I didn't actually remember the timestamp just then.
And with respect to the disconnection from that, do you know when that was?
I can't recall.
Your Honor, if I may approach?
Yes.
In the interest of time, Your Honor, may the witness.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sir, if you can, from looking at your report, if you can just indicate the jury as far as the Wi-Fi connections.
The Wi-Fi was connected at 0212 and disconnected at 0539. There was no further Wi-Fi activity until 11 a.m.
May I approach this retriever?
Yes.
Now, sir, are you familiar with something called a write-ahead log or a wall file?
I am, yes.
And if you could explain to the jury what your understanding of that term is and how it applies in this specific case.
Yes. So a write-ahead log is essentially a temporary store for database pages. When I'm talking about database pages, it's not something that the user ever sees. It's part of the structure of SQLite databases. Just as chapters in a book can span multiple pages, data in a database can span multiple pages also. And it's not necessarily in the expected order. It's up to the database application to find those pages and order them correctly in order to display the data to the user. The WAL file, on the other hand, it still contains pages, but they're organized in frames, essentially. And a frame is the same as a page, but with additional information at the top that identifies what page it is. So I mentioned earlier that it's possible to have multiple versions of the same page within the WAL file. That's because every time I write a record to the database, a new frame is created and the page is updated. So for example, if I was to have a new database, create a record, a new frame is created with page one and it adds my record. As soon as I add a second record to that database, a new frame is created again. So I now have frame one and frame two. Both of those frames would contain a version of page one. The first frame would contain only record one, the second frame would contain records one and two, and so on. Forensically, where it gets interesting is on the edit or deletion of a record. Because the same process is applied. So now a new frame is created. The page number is the same as previously, so we'd still have a page one. But now only the records that I don't want to delete are copied across. So I could end up in a situation where I have four versions of page one. One has record one, one has records one and two, one has records one, two, and three. But the most recent version of the page only has record one and three, for example. Now, a normal piece of database software will only look for the most recent version of the page. So you would only see records one and three. The forensic software can look at all previous versions of the page as well, and that's how we're able to recover record two in that instance. And that's essentially how we were able to recover the browser state record from WAL.
Now, sir, turning to that issue as far as deletion, what if anything, well, let me ask you this first just before we leave the WAL file. So with regard to the WAL file, what if any relevance is there that certain data only exists within the WAL file?
So again, if I create a record that's in the WAL and delete it before it gets committed, which means when it gets merged into the main database, then it exists only in the WAL. It could be that it's a brand new record that just hasn't been written yet, or it could be one which was deleted from the database prior to the commit occurring.
When you say commit, what exactly, what does that mean?
Commit's a process where essentially the database looks at all of the most recent versions of each page in the WAL file, copies them out from WAL and puts it into the main database and then deletes the WAL file altogether. So at that point, we lose the ability to recover data from WAL because the WAL doesn't exist, but we have all the most recent versions of the page.
Now, sir, turning to the concept of the topic of deletion of data, what, if anything, did you find with regard to deletion of data with respect to this search and applied to plist that you've got?
Recovering data that's been deleted from plist is not really possible. So all we can say is if this record exists within the plist, it hasn't been deleted.
Now, same question with regard to issues of deleted data with regard to the history DB?
There was no records of any, there's no evidence of any records being deleted from history.db since early January. I think it was like the 3rd of January up to February 2nd.
And how were you able to tell that with regard to the history DB?
Again, every record is given a unique number, and there'd be a gap in that numbering system if a file or if a record had been deleted. The fact that there was no gaps indicates that nothing had been deleted.
And with regard to deletion, what, if anything, were you able to ascertain with regard to deletion versus web usage and the Knowledge C data?
Knowledge C contains such a large amount of different type of data that's always being added and deleted for various reasons, none at the discretion of the user. It's a completely system-driven event to delete information from Knowledge C. So we can't say what was deleted from Knowledge C, but we can see that during the times of Safari usage, records exist within Knowledge C that indicate, or certainly appear to indicate, that nothing was deleted.
What, if anything, were you able to find with regard to deletion in respect to the browser state DB data?
Browser state did have numerous records that had been deleted. Some we were able to recover. Three records from browser state all had a timestamp very similar to 2:27:40. These were three records that had been deleted at some point.
What are some of the options for deleting data from that particular browser state?
So the first most prominent option is to delete absolutely everything from the device, or delete all history from the device, which, as I mentioned earlier, we know that didn't happen because we still have other records. So the only other real option is to delete selectively. That could mean delete one at a time, and it could mean delete either the full day, the last 2 days, or last hour. But in all of those cases, the record must exist in history.db in order to be deleted from browser state. The fact that this record, the hoslong and the how long today and the kickd, don't exist within the history database would mean that the user would never have the option to selectively delete that record.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Do you recognize that, sir?
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that to be?
So this is a list of the browser state DB records showing a red line where a record or more have been deleted.
And again, the term deleted, as far as it applies to this particular area of the database, what exactly does that mean again?
It means the record has been marked as deleted. If you were to read this database in a regular database application, you would not see it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we can't recover it.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm off the seat. Introduce him as an exhibit.
The exhibit?
I have no objection to the exhibit if that was the question.
That is the question.
Okay, we're good. Your Honor, with the Court's permission, may we publish Exhibit 622 to the
Yes.
Record? Again, sir, what's up on the screen? Is that what you have before you as Exhibit 622?
It says yes.
And if you could, please, using the laser pointer, direct the jury's attention to what, if anything, of significance you observe in this.
So again, we can use the number down the left side, which will identify the unique identifier given to each of these records. And we can see that the red line between the first two records indicates that records between 3986 and 3993 have been deleted. We can see that record 4001 is deleted. Records between 4004 and 4019 have been deleted. Record 4020 was deleted. And then finally, records between 4025 and 4031 had been deleted also.
Now, sir, as far as records 4024 and 4025, what, if anything, were you able to ascertain as far as the date times associated with those?
Yeah, so these particular records show up at 2:27:31 and 2:27:33, respectively, and this matched records within Knowledge C that showed that at this particular time when the tab took focus, that particular website was also shown visible to the user in Safari.
As far as the date and time for 4024 and 4025, what, if anything, did you observe with respect to the date time 4026, and what can you tell about that?
Sorry, 4026 was approximately a second or two after the record here, 2:27:33. I believe it was at 2:27:35. And then again, there was another record, 4027, which again was another 2 or 3 seconds after that time. So within a 9 second period between 2:27:31 and 2:27:40, there were five records within browser state DB that had a timestamp within that 9 seconds, all with completely different types of website, ranging from PayPal, banking, YouTube, and the Hoslong Stay in the Cold.
Now, sir, with respect to, are you familiar with the term called spontaneous deletion?
I believe so.
The jury what that is.
It's not a term that I would use, but essentially a cleanup operation would occur on the device where it would look for orphaned records, records that are old enough to not be required anymore. anymore, and they would just be deleted by the system without any direction from the user.
Now, during the testing that occurred, your testing, which occurred with this device, what, if anything, did you observe with regard to spontaneous deletion?
I wasn't able to replicate the spontaneous deletion. I was able to replicate completely orphaned records. So a record that existed in browser state without a corresponding record in history.db. And it meant that there was no way for me to delete that record manually without deleting everything from the device regarding history.
May I approach, Arm?
Yes.
May we approach, please?
Okay, could you turn the lights on, please, yes. Tony? Thank you.
You are unmuted.
All right, so you're introducing that those four pages or whatever it is, Mr. Lally?
Yes, sir.
As one exhibit?
As the next four exhibits.
Okay. All right, so that will be, those will be admitted. Yep. Right, were you going to publish those? Because you can go ahead and publish them while this is...
I don't think that's...
Yeah, great.
May I have just one moment?
Sure.
Your Honor, if I can take them just one by one, I think that might...
Okay.
I'm just trying to doctor recognize that.
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that to be?
This is a report from my Artex tool showing the history database at 21:39:34 on the 27th of January and 22:55:09 on the 27th of January.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm off to introduce the minutes of next.
All right, so all four are in. Okay, so you don't need to... You already marked?
I have not.
Okay. 6:23.
I have one moment, Your Honor. And Your Honor, the court's permission if we could publish that to the jury.
Yes.
Now, sir, with regard to this, we're looking at record number 4026. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe we are.
And again, if you could direct the jury's attention to what exactly are we looking at in this exhibit with regard to record 4026?
Yeah, so in the right column, we see the source of the information. So history.db is the database. History_visits would be the table. And then the unique identifying number of 31407 and 31408. We see that the start time or the time that particular website was navigated to, according to history.db, was, as I say, both on the 27th of January, one at 21:39:34 seconds local time, and one at 22:55:09 local time. And both of these websites are related to Hockenbach Sports. We have the URL at the top, followed by the title of the page, followed by a visit count that tells us how many times that page has been visited before.
Sorry, one moment, Charles.
Yes.
Thank you. That next document, do you recognize that, sir?
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that to be?
This is the same kind of report. This is related to the YouTube record that was part of the browser state database, related to It's Raining Men on YouTube.
Is that the record number 4027, is that correct?
It is, yes.
Your Honor, may I approach again?
Yes. Okay, it's a 24.
Your Honor, very briefly, may I post that for you,
yes,
as well? And sir, what's up on the screen now, is that what you have before you as the next exhibit?
It is, yes.
And again, if you could use the laser pointer just to direct attention to what, if anything, of significance you observe in this record of 407.
Yeah, so again, we have five records related to the YouTube video, It's Raining Men, starting at record 31398, 31399, 31400, 31401, and 31402. These were all accessed on the afternoon of the 27th of January, 2022.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Another document, do you recognize that?
I do.
What do you recognize that to be?
This is the same again, related to record 4029, shows that a website was visited on the 28th of January, 2021.
You want to ask if this be marked?
Okay.
Excuse me? Yep. Thank you. And Your Honor, with the court's permission, may we publish that?
Yes.
Well, sir, what's up on the screen? Is that what you have before you as the next exhibit in regards to record 4029?
It is, yes.
And again, if you explain to the jury, what are we looking at?
Yeah, so this URL, cantonma.org, relates to the URL that was provided in record 4029 of the browser state database. It shows that this web page was accessed at 1 p.m. And 17 minutes and 0 seconds, and 1 p.m. 17 minutes and 8 seconds on the 28th of January, 2022.
May I approach again,
yes.
Another document, sir, recognize that?
I do.
Recognize that.
Again, the same kind of report. Again, this time for record 4030 from browser state, and it shows access to Ozone Basketball.
And with regard to that report, as far as the same kind of report, that's from your tool, the ArtX tool, is that correct?
Correct.
And that ArtX tool, is that a widely available tool used within the field of forensic investigators?
Yeah, it's something that I say I've worked on for around 5 years. I've given it away free to the digital forensics community for 5 years. There's a approximately 600 users globally, and it's taught as part of the SANS digital forensics training courses.
May I approach again just to retrieve your?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe we publish that for the
yes.
Guard, to this exhibit up on the screen, record 4030, again, if you draw the jury's attention or direct the jury's attention, what, if anything, have you been observed from this exhibit?
Yeah, so again, we have records from the history database related to Ozone Basketball, and it shows that this website was accessed at 11 a.m. and 26 minutes on the 25th of January, 2022.
May I approach, John?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, you can. Now, with respect to sort of the totality of your analysis, Mr. Whitman, what, if any, conclusions did you come to as to timing of the two searches in question with relation to what you observed in your analysis and testing of the...
Yes. So, in conclusion, I determined that the tab that was used was focused at 227.40. So the tab was opened at that time, at which point it was being used to show Ozone Basketball and Hockamock Sports websites. The 6:23 timestamp is when the search was first conducted. Never loaded the page, otherwise there'd be a record in the history database. And while that page was still loading, a secondary search was conducted for Hoss Long to Die in the Cold. Again, that page never loaded either, although these both did show up in the Knowledge C database to show that the browser was trying to display these pages. Safari was closed prior to the Hoss Long to Die in the Cold record being shown on screen at all, but when it was reopened at 10:33 in regards to whatever other Safari activity was to be conducted, it appeared on screen. So we have a 10:33 record where Hoss Long to Die in the Cold was shown on screen, even though the page never successfully loaded.
And with respect to your analysis and your testing here, what, if any, opinion do you have as to whether or not any of the data marked as deleted was actually user deleted or a user actually actively went through the process?
Yeah. So again, we know that nobody deleted the entire history. So that leaves the only option to be selectively deleting records. The fact that there are no missing records in HistoryDB shows that it's impossible that that record could have been deleted by the user. It would have just been orphaned in the database, and I believe would have deleted itself at some stage whenever a particular cleanup function ran. Although, as I said earlier, I haven't been able to replicate that. I was able to continue to read the various versions of the page that contained Hoss Long to Die in the Cold browser state record, and found that it existed at the same time as another record that was created at least 2 days later. Therefore, I can determine that particular record was not deleted until at the earliest 10 p.m. on the 31st of January, and that it's not possible that the user could have created or caused that deletion to occur.
Now, over the course of your analysis and testing or review of the extraction in this case, did you have occasion to review an affidavit of a Mr. Richard Reese?
I did, yes.
And what, if any, opinions or conclusions do you have as at that affidavit?
I had issues with several of the statements being made as part of the affidavit.
And what issues were those?
Namely, it specified that Cellbrite report identified that the search was conducted at 227.40. And as I've explained, I believe the tab took focus at 227.40, not when the search occurred. The report mentioned that Cellbrite report identified it was deleted by the user. We don't do that. We'll tell you that a record is deleted, but we don't specify how the record was deleted. That's something for the examiner to determine. I forget. Oh, and then there was a mention of the purpose of the browser state database. The explanation given was correct for iOS 14 and below, but not for 15 and above, which it is relevant in this case.
Now, you mentioned this issue as far as coming up, obviously, in this case and some other instances, phone calls or inquiries that you received from Austria and other places. What, if anything, have you or your company, Cellbrite, done with regard to rectifying this issue?
Well, I'll allow it.
We recognize that this timestamp could be misleading. Regardless of how we label that timestamp, the very fact that a timestamp is there, we feel would be or potentially misrepresented. So the decision was taken to remove the timestamp altogether from that information. So now we show the web page was visited, but we don't attribute a time to that purely because it could be wildly inaccurate.
Your Honor, this may be the appropriate time for the instruction.
Okay. All right. So, jurors, we're about to see a demonstration by Mr. Whiffen. It's simply a demonstration to help you to understand the evidence that you've heard. It's not evidence from this case, but it helps you understand the evidence in this case. You must decide this case based solely on a fair consideration of the evidence and nothing but the evidence. But this is a demonstration to help you understand that evidence.
Your Honor, the rights are preserved, correct?
Yes.
And so to that point, Mr. Whiffen, were you able to prepare a demonstration in regard to what you've been discussing through the course of your testimony?
I was, yes.
That demonstration doesn't specifically reflect on the searches or the extraction report that you looked at in this case, correct?
Correct.
But as far as the overall issues that you've been discussing in your testimony?
That's correct.
In the court's permission, may the witness now illustrate that.
Yes.
Okay. So first of all, on the left there, you can see a screen of an iPhone, and that is a phone that I have in front of me live. It's just demonstrating what I can see on the phone. This is my Artex tool, and the feature which I continuously use this tool for, which is not available really in any other vendor tools, is the ability to create a live connection between my computer and the phone. The live connection is what I've just started here, and what's going to happen is all of the files and folders that exist on the phone will be mapped to my computer so that I can navigate it. I can look around and I can take a look at live, near enough live records on the device. Prior to the availability of this tool, I would have to test a theory on a phone, do an extraction, and then pass the extraction, which could take anywhere between 20 minutes and several hours. The reason that I'm using this tool today is because I can do those same tests within 10 or 20 seconds, typically. So I just need to wait for this section to do. So it's already mapped out all the files and folders. It's now asking for a few important pieces of information, which it will then populate on the screen. So information such as the device, serial number, etc. What we're interested in, though, is the browser state record. So I can go to the browser state database and take a look at that and open that up. And you can see that at this moment in time, I have no records in the database at all. If I go back into the live view of the phone, you can see I have Safari open from last night. So it's been sat in the background overnight and not doing anything. But at 10 past 8 last night, I performed this search in a brand new window. So started Safari, opened up a new tab, immediately searched for new tab at 2010 on the 16th of June. If I now search for the time right now, 1442, what I can do is go back to my Artex tool and press this reload button. That's going to delete the database from my computer only and copy the most recent copy of the database and WAL file from my phone back to my computer, where it shows me I still have no records. That's expected behavior because at the moment I've not closed the tab. So if this again was iOS 14, there would be a record there to say what tab I had open, but iOS 15 doesn't work that way. If I now go back to my tabs and actually just close this window, I can go back into Artex and hit reload again, and we now see we have some records. I can look at this particular record, and you'll see that the title is 1442 Google search. You'll see the Google search record here, so I just need to change the time zone as well to Eastern time. So you see it's the most recent search which I conducted, the 1442 search. The last viewed time, though, still shows as 8:10 p.m. last night, because that's the time that the tab was focused, not the time that the search was conducted.
Thank you, sir. Let me have a moment, John.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions.
Okay, Ms. Tianetti.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Mr. Whiffen.
Good afternoon.
Sir, you had spoken a little bit about what was your assignment here in terms of the data that was sent to you. And I believe that you testified regarding that 2:27 a.m. or 2:27:42 a.m. timestamp that it didn't make sense to the investigators, correct?
Correct.
Were you told that one of the investigators was Trooper Michael Proctor?
I don't recall any names being mentioned. The ticket came to me, or the request came to me via another Cellbrite employee who'd been asked about this case and asked whether we could offer any help.
Thank you. You would agree with me that when you're making or doing a simulation, you want it to be as close to an apples-to-apples comparison as you can get?
As best possible, yes.
And to get truly accurate research results, you want to eliminate as many variables as can, correct?
Correct.
You wouldn't, for instance, want to use an Android operating system to try to replicate the activity from Jennifer McCabe's Apple iPhone, correct?
Correct.
What version of iOS US did you use for your testing of Jennifer McCabe's data?
So this test has been undertaken on various different versions of iOS, from iOS 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and most recently on the beta version of 18 last week. This particular demonstration was on 15.8.2.
Okay. And you're aware, you said 15.8.2.
Correct. I've also tested on 15.7.
Oh, fair enough. You're aware, however, that Ms. McCabe was using iOS version 15.2.1, correct?
Correct.
And you would agree that the way that an artifact is stored would depend on the iOS version that you use, correct?
Correct.
And your simulation did not use the iOS version that Ms. McCabe was running on her iPhone, correct?
Correct. I used the closest version I could find.
So I'd like to ask you some questions about the characteristics of browserstate.db-wall and record number 4028.
Okay.
That record number, I believe you testified, was found to be deleted, correct?
Correct.
But you were able to recover the date and time associated with it, correct?
The date and time of the last viewed.
Of that record number?
Yes.
And what was that date?
2:27:40 seconds a.m.
You were also able to recover the content of that particular Google search itself?
I was able to recover the URL for it, yes.
And what was that Google search?
Hoss Long to Die in the Cold.
And it's true, however, that the session history could not be recovered, correct?
That's correct.
Now, given those characteristics that you just discussed, did your testing result in a WAL file record, WAL file record, that matched the characteristics of 4028? In other words, deleted with session history not recovered?
The issue with the session history, I was able to recover only the first page of session history. What happens is when there's a large amount of data that's split over multiple pages, if it's a live record, all those pages point to each other so that you can chain it together and get one large amount of information. Once they've been deleted, some of those pages can be overwritten and therefore the pointers don't make sense anymore. So the amount of information in this session was way larger than one page, and I wasn't able to recover anything further.
Okay, and you'd agree that the simulation was done using a different operating system, correct?
Correct.
Were you able to recreate the other deletions that appeared before and after that record 4028?
Which deletion, sorry?
Well, you had testified, and I believe there was an exhibit that was introduced, yep, that showed that there were multiple deletions both before and after, correct?
Correct.
Were you able to recreate those?
When I manually deleted records from the history, then the records also were deleted from the browser state.
Now, I believe that you testified, and if you didn't, I believe it's in your report, that there are essentially five mechanisms for record deletions in the browser state database, correct?
Correct.
You ruled out four of them pretty quick, correct?
Correct.
And I believe you've testified to that today, correct?
Correct.
The only remaining option was selective deletion by a user, or there's some internal mechanism for record deletion that is not fully understood, correct?
Correct.
And you know of, as you testified today, you know of no internal mechanism for record deletion that's not fully understood, correct?
I've not been able to replicate that function, no.
Right. If there is no unknown internal mechanism for record deletion that's not fully understood, that would leave selective deletion by a user, correct?
Not in this case, no.
Well, selective deletion, you would agree, means that a user selects what to delete, correct?
Correct.
And regarding the user, the term user, what is that? Who is that?
Whoever's using the phone at the time.
Okay, so it's actually somebody who is using the actual iPhone itself, correct?
Correct.
Not necessarily a computer expert, correct?
Correct.
Would you agree with me that somebody who had access to the data before it was extracted and sent to you could have made selective deletions of the data?
Objection.
No, I don't.
Are you aware of an app called MySQL?
Yes.
What is MySQL?
MySQL is just a method for viewing SQLite databases.
All right. If someone had access to the raw data, again, before it was sent to, and used that app, they could make selective deletions of that, couldn't they?
I assume you're talking about opening up the extraction, taking out the particular file and editing it?
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You're right, you're on. I apologize. And I apologize to you. Okay. If you could restate your question or answer or give me your full answer.
Okay. So it would be possible with the extraction to take out particular databases, alter them, and put them back into the extraction. But there's something called a hash mechanism that we have in place that would essentially hashes the original data, and then it can be hashed again at a later date. It results in a long string of characters, and if there's any changes to the original data, then we'd see that it's been modified.
Would you agree with
with me that someone with access to that data and an appropriate application or program could also delete and renumber history.db and knowledge.cso so that it would appear as though there was no break in the numbering, so that it would also appear that nothing was deleted?
It's potentially possible, but would require a large amount of knowledge and skill to do in a way that can't be detected.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Lally?
Any discrepancy between the iOS version and Dave's phone and the iOS version and the demonstration that you did, what, if any, impact does that have on what you showed this jury?
So in this particular case, every iOS version that I tested, as I mentioned, from 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, the timestamp is always referring to the time that the tab took focus. So even though there are some differences with when the record's created, the meaning behind that timestamp has been consistent.
And what you were asking about what you were asked about in regard to select each, you indicated that no evidence of that in this case, is that correct?
Correct. Selective deletion would require that the record existed in the history database in order to be selected to be deleted. The fact that there's no missing records indicates it was never written into that database and therefore could not have been selectively deleted.
Now, the hash mechanism that you testified as far as detecting whether or not someone had surreptitiously gone in and deleted things, you see any evidence of that in your view of the extraction of Ms. Dave's phone?
I didn't have access to the hash information to see whether any changes had been made. That's something that the original examiner would have had access to. From my point of view, there was nothing in there that would indicate that tampering had occurred. The timestamps all made sense for the files. The historical pages all made sense. So it's probably possible, but it would take a large amount of skill to do.
Now, with regard to your analysis and your testing in this case, again, what is your opinion or conclusion as when these two Google search were done?
I'm of no doubt that the only time those two searches were conducted was at 6:23 and 6:24 on the morning of the 29th.
Something further on.
Prior to today, have you ever heard of spontaneous?
It's not a term that I'm familiar with.
All right, sir, you are all set.
Thank you.
Do you need a couple minutes to get your stuff done?
I can probably be quite fast. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Lally, your next witness, please.
Yes, Your Honor, the Commonwealth called Trooper Nicholas Carino to the stand.
Okay.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-D-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.